You are listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. Hello and welcome to Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host. And on today's broadcast, we have a very special guest. I'm pleased to report we'll be visiting with Dr. J. Rufus Fears, who is David Ross Boyd, Professor of Classics at the University of Oklahoma, where he holds the G.T. and Libby Blankenship Chair in the History of Liberty. Dr. Fears, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you for letting me come. I want to tell your audience that Brian Hobbs is the best student I ever had, not only academically, but in terms of moral character. And I just have watched with admiration his growth and now this wonderful new position that he has and what a fine job he will do in it.
Well, thank you, Dr. Fears. I'm honored and humbled. Dr. Fears has the best classes at the University of Oklahoma in the state and, in my opinion, around the country. When I was a student at OU, I took all of them, all of his classes, and some of them twice. And we'll be talking about history today and learning lessons from the past. And Dr. Fears, I would like to start by reading an excerpt from George Washington's farewell address from 1796 and perhaps talk about its application for today. He said, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the duties of men and citizens. The mere politician, equally with the pious man, ought to respect and to cherish them." My first question, Dr. Fears, is how adrift from the words of the father of our country have we strayed?
Well, the short answer is we have drifted very, very far away, tragically far away. I want, though, to begin by saying why we study the founders of our country. We need to stop and reflect upon what they achieved. The founders declared their independence from the greatest superpower of the day, Great Britain. And they declared it in the name of enduring moral principles rooted in God, that God is the creator of the universe. He has given to the human race a set of laws that are the same in all places and in all times, and that under these laws, all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That makes the United States the only country in history founded upon moral principles. Now, the Declaration of Independence would only be a historical footnote had the founders and the brave Americans who followed them not won that independence on the field of battle. But what truly transformed history was that these same founders, in Philadelphia, in one summer of 1787, faced by an overwhelming debt and mortgage crisis, created the Constitution, which still, more than 200 years later, gives us freedom under the law and ensures our religious freedom. But even greater than the founders were the regular Americans who, in their wisdom, ratified that Constitution. So you see, the founders were but the reflection of the moral fiber of the ordinary American of that day. Now, I fear that our politicians today, and I very much like the fact that George Washington refers to mere politicians, that the politicians of our day are the reflection of Americans today. Because far too many in America today have not only drifted away from, but actively rejected the idea that morality and religion are essential to democracy. The founders believed that the best constitution imaginable will not long ensure freedom unless the citizen body is imbued with morality, love of God, as well as a love of country, that is patriotism.
That is a most interesting point about the leadership being a reflection of the populace. You know, thinking about the moral decay, the family breakdown, you know, we could cite many statistics. Can our republic long last the decay?
I don't think it can. And it's interesting that we're in this terrible debt crisis, and Congress seems completely unwilling to solve it. And of course, it's not just in the United States. The European political leaders are equally inept and unwilling to solve their debt crisis. And since we have a global economy, the whole of this edifice may collapse upon us, creating hardship for millions and millions of people. I think that a debt crisis, and here again I would be citing the founders, is but a reflection of a moral lapse. In many of the state constitutions, the founding generation wrote in specific virtues, qualities, that a citizen body must have in order to retain liberty. One of these was piety, but another was frugality. To save money, to invest it wisely. The quote you began with so aptly comes from George Washington's farewell address. He delivered that to the newspaper himself in Philadelphia to announce to his countrymen that he would not seek a third term. But in it he said, "I have so appreciated all the honors you have bestowed upon me that like a good friend I wish to offer you some advice." And succinctly what his advice was avoid foreign entanglements. America is unique unto itself. Do not get into other people's wars. 2, do not have political parties. They will destroy freedom. And thirdly, stay out of debt. Debt will ruin a country more quickly than any other thing. And in that, he was reflecting the thought of Adam Smith, whose great book, The Wealth of Nations, was published in 1776. And Adam Smith said, debt will be the ruin of every great nation in Europe.
And those words echo into today. I admire so much General Washington, and I am left to wonder if on the horizon could there be a great statesman to lead this people, perhaps that God is preparing. But do you see any leadership on the horizon, or what would a leader look like of his caliber?
Well, I think, again, following President Washington, we ought to distinguish between a statesman and a mere politician.
Okay.
And there are 4 qualities that distinguish a true statesman: a bedrock of principles, a moral compass, a vision, and the ability to build a consensus to achieve that vision. A bedrock of principles, that is a set of values that you build your whole life upon. Not just your political life, Brian, it is your whole life, your personal life as well. And for Washington, it was the love of freedom. It was honesty and integrity and truth. For Abraham Lincoln, it was democratic freedom. For Winston Churchill, a great statesman of the British tradition, it was democratic freedom. For Ronald Reagan, it was democratic freedom. But what determines whether your bedrock of principles is good or bad is your moral compass. And a moral compass guides you through life the way the North Star guides you through a dark forest. And it is a belief in absolute right and absolute wrong. And for Washington, that absolute right was freedom and liberty under God. For Abraham Lincoln, it was that slavery was wrong in all places and in all times. For Ronald Reagan, it was the Soviet Union was an evil empire. So leaders like Churchill and Reagan are never afraid to use the word evil. But you have to have a vision. The vision of Washington is of you and me sitting here in this beautiful city, Oklahoma City, saying exactly what we want to. Mm. And a country that has spread freedom across the world. And the ability to build a consensus, well, you can have the best vision in the world. Nobody follows you. You'll go nowhere. Washington did it by leading through moral authority, as did Lincoln, as did Ronald Reagan. So that's what makes a statesman. Now, I do believe that at every critical moment in our country's history, Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War II, the time of the almost economic collapse of our country under Jimmy Carter, there has appeared a leader, sometimes from very unlikely places, Who would have imagined? In fact, it astonished the London Times that America would choose to lead it an inexperienced backwoods solicitor from Illinois. That's how they described Lincoln. Or Hollywood. Who would have thought that Hollywood would produce one of our greatest presidents? So you can believe as you go through life that things just happen by chance or that God is working. I believe God has worked in all those occasions to bring forth a leader because God has chosen America for this special duty. But I worry right now because I certainly see no leader on the horizon. I do not see a nation that wants that kind of moral leadership or is willing to pay the price for that kind of moral leadership. And I also tell you that I think the press can make and unmake any leader in the world. What would the press have done to Winston Churchill in 1940? They would have brought up all of his past political failures. He was too old to be Prime Minister of Britain. So would the press even allow a true statesman to emerge?
You know, that's a profound point. And for our listeners who believe each word you said and they're thinking, what can I maybe do as a citizen? You mentioned piety, frugality. Are there some values that maybe the ordinary citizen, the ordinary Baptist listening could take upon themselves and their family?
Yes. And you know, the Baptists were prime movers in the spread of liberty across our continent. Baptist preachers were some of the strongest speaking out in favor of the revolution and in preaching these virtues of liberty and country. The founders also believed that education was essential to freedom, and students had to be educated for the responsibility of self-government. And that's, of course, something we wish to forget today. For every freedom, there's a corresponding responsibility. We only want freedom. We don't want responsibility. That is why in the Northwest Ordinance, passed by the first Congress meeting under the new Constitution in 1789, part of that ordinance for settling the territories that later became Indiana and Ohio and so on, was that religion and morality should forever be encouraged alongside education. Now, we have taken God out of the schools. We have taken the teaching of values out of the schools. So we are systematically refusing to educate our children in these fundamental moral values. That would have shocked the founders of our country. Congress was not supposed to make any law interfering with the free exercise of religion. Now, all of these court rulings that do not allow God to be mentioned or the Lord's Prayer to be read are interfering with the free exercise of religion for millions of our countrymen. So if we have educated generations now of American citizens to be without morality, to put God off in a closet, then we cannot expect to maintain our liberty.
We're talking to Dr. J. Rufus Fears, professor of classics at the University of Oklahoma, and these are profound points. Dr. Fears, you talked about the hand of God in bringing about leadership that has blessed America. In your writings and teachings, you've made comparisons with Socrates and Jesus and focusing in on the person of Jesus Christ. Could you talk about his teachings, the teachings of the Bible, as they have transformed America and maybe their role for the days ahead, tying into?
Well, you see, we were talking about how can we educate our citizens for freedom. And what we must start by doing is putting values back into the classroom, fundamental moral values. And whenever I speak on that point, someone's hand will immediately go up and they'll say, well, whose values are you going to be teaching? Well, if you were to sit down with a group of good Protestants, good Catholics, good Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, Jews, they would all agree on a fundamental set of moral values that we all believe in. Now, one of these is Jesus, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That is the very foundation of moral interaction between humans. It is exactly what Confucius said, exactly what the Buddha said. You will find that in the Quran. It is fundamental to Hindu teaching. Now, and fundamental to Jewish teaching. In fact, that is taken out of the Jewish teaching context. So, Jesus, in and of himself, teaches a gospel that can spread to people of many different religious faiths in its fundamental moral lessons. That's exactly what one of the great men of the 20th century, Mahatma Gandhi, the great leader of India, he said, you know, that we can read the Bible and the Hindu scriptures side by side with each other and each gain a pathway to truth. So I think what Jesus tells us is that we must have moral values and rooted in God. It is most interesting. One of the great mass murderers in history was Genghis Khan. But he issued a set of laws for his whole empire. And they were, you know, very good laws in the sense of demanding honesty and integrity of officials and others. But it starts off by saying you must all believe in God. Now, I'm not going to tell you which God to believe in, but no one can be moral without a belief in God.
That is profound. And, of course, George Washington was a man of deep faith, abiding faith.
And of great tolerance. He gave one of the most important statements of religious freedom in our country's history when he spoke to a Jewish synagogue. And, in fact, he believed that we worship, along with the Jews, the God of the Old Testament. It's just that we also had Jesus as well.
Dr. Fears, if someone is listening to this broadcast and wanted to do some more study and research, of course, I'd point our listeners to the Teaching Company courses. Dr. Fears has an excellent array of courses on Winston Churchill, the wisdom of history. There's a new course, I believe.
Life Lessons from the Great Myths. And in that, myth is used to mean the idea of conveying a more profound truth than can be told in ordinary factual language.
Excellent. And you can Google that online and find that website. And they make a great Christmas gift, too, might I add. I've done that for family before. We've been visiting with Dr. J. Rufus Fears, David Ross Boyd, Professor of Classics at the University of Oklahoma. And you're listening to Messenger Insight. Dr. Fears, just one more point, if I may. We've talked about universal values. We've talked about the Patriot Sage, George Washington. We've talked about the Republic and it hanging in the balance. And you've devoted your life to teaching and education. Could you underscore for us just how important it is for people to become educated on history and become students of history as it applies?
Well, we've spoken about the founders of our country and how they were so successful. And the key to their success was they thought historically. That is to say, they used the lessons of the past to make decisions in the present and to plan for the future. So as they crafted our Constitution, they looked back to all the ancient constitutions and took what was best. And they also believed that history repeats itself and that America could go through a cycle from democracy and end up in tyranny if it did not learn from the past. And one of our great weaknesses today is we think we are so smart with all our technology and science that we've made ourselves immune to the laws of history. So economists were telling us 7 years ago there would never again be a great recession because our technology had created a new economic model. That's exactly what they said in the summer of 1929, too.
That's a fantastic point, and I think of what C.S. Lewis referred to as chronological snobbery. People thinking the people who happen to be walking about at the time know best, that the ancients had a little bit to say and people closer to when we live might have had even more to say, but we really have got it now. We've got hold of what's right.
That's a perfect phrase, chronological snobbery.
Well, Dr. Fears, I want to thank you for coming on this broadcast and for your contribution to the body of Oklahoma and you make the Sooner State so proud and represent us so well, and you challenge people to think beyond headlines and really strive for the common virtues that have made America so great. And we want to thank you for coming on the broadcast and sharing your wisdom. We would love to have you back.
I will come anytime.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, visit baptistmessenger.com or find us in the iTunes Store.